Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
All right, well then let me give you a little joke. Okay, you guys want a joke? Because you seem so excited today. Girls, do ha ha ha, repeat after me. Ha ha ha, ho ho ho, he he he, smile, ha ha ha, ho ho ho, he he he. All right, loosen up, shake it out, like whatever you came mad about, let it go, all right? You're like, I'm mad about my husband, now you're preaching on marriage. So, listen, God knows what he's doing, and I believe we're gonna get a wonderful word from the Holy Spirit today. And so, here's a joke, all right? Now, I'm not good at jokes, so just if it's not funny, you can be like, womp, 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 and I won't be hurt. All right, a woman awoke during the night to find her husband not in bed. And she put on her robe, she went downstairs, and he was sitting in the kitchen at the table with a cup of coffee in front of him. He appeared to be in deep thought, just staring at the wall. She saw him wipe a tear from his eye and took a sip from his coffee. What is the matter? Why are you down here at this time of night? She asked. He said to her, do you remember 20 years ago when we were dating and you were only 16? She said, yes, I do. Do you remember when your father caught us in the back seat of my car kissing? She goes, yes, I do. Do you remember when he shoved the shotgun in my face and said, either you marry my daughter or you spend 20 years in jail? She said, yes, I do. And he wiped another tear from his cheek and he said, you know, I would have gotten out today. This is how the world sees marriage, guys. This is how people think of marriage. They think of it as a prison. They think of it as some place that they said something that they said yes to that they don't want to commit to, something that one or the other gives up in, or maybe it failed and it didn't work, and so they've not seen a good image of it. But reality is God created marriage. And God actually intended for marriage to be a beautiful thing. And so some of you are sitting in this room today and you've walked through a failed marriage. You've not had a good experience with marriage. Maybe you have not been married yet. So single girls, where are my single girls at? You need to be taking notes, okay? Because when that man comes, you need to know who you are and then you need to know who he's supposed to be, all right? So you find the right guy. And this is for all of us. See, God didn't create marriage to put heartache on the earth. That is not why God created marriage. God did not create marriage just so that he can have a whole bunch of babies running around. That is not why God created marriage. God created marriage because it's a beautiful picture, a beautiful image, a beautiful painting of Jesus and the church. You say, how does that work, Pastor Jess? Well, in the Word of God, it says that we are the bride of Christ. Right? Now, we can relate with that because we're the girls, right? But when the men hear that, they're like, what? But listen, God doesn't see male nor female in these things when he's talking about it. He's saying, you are the church and I am God. You are the body of Christ and I am the king, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And do you think that if I can form the oceans from not coming onto the land, do you think that if I can create a whale or a giraffe or how about those dinosaurs, then don't you think that I have in mind what to do about marriage? You see, half of you sitting in this room may not even realize that God was the one who ordained marriage, created marriage, defined marriage, and was the one who knew what marriage was. Not the world, not our political systems, not what the world is saying or defining marriage as. God created man and woman, and it is between man and woman, and marriage is for that. Now, in our country, they have redefined it, but I'm telling you, God does not see that. God sees man and woman, and heaven recognizes it as a united covenant. Now, I might have offended half of you, but I love you so much. If you care about God, you stay. Don't turn off. Listen to what God's word has to say, because it's not about the way we think. It's about how he thinks. So when we come to the house of God, we cannot stand in what our opinions are in our ways. We've got to set aside our thoughts. We've got to set aside our opinions. We've got to set aside our judgments of how we think things should be according to what we've lived through or according to who we love in our lives. You see, God has a plan, and we got to figure out what is that plan then. If I've said yes to God, right? I love the Lord. I call myself a Christian. And what is our journey in this life? Our journey is to live more like Christ on a daily basis, to step out for what is right, right standing before God. And what does that mean? That means what his word says is how I live. And so God is going to speak to us and talk to us about marriage. God is very serious about marriage. He's very interested in marriage. God is the one who knew why marriage was so important, because it was going to be the beautiful reflection of him and us. But yet, if I don't understand marriage, maybe I'm going to have a hard time understanding God. Just like maybe if I've not had a good father figure in my life, when we hear that song, Good, Good Father, you're like, I don't know about all that. Because you've had a tainted, broken relationship. But God is here to restore back the things that maybe have been robbed from you. Because God's plan wasn't for you not to succeed in life or not to know the goodness of his glory. God's plan was not to leave you out because maybe you feel like you don't fit in to what marriage looks like, or maybe your marriage doesn't look like this. But I'm telling you right now, if you begin to care about what God cares about, then your marriage is going to be blessed. I was talking with some girls yesterday. And we were talking about this because we all come from different walks of life. And so I've seen a beautiful marriage with my parents. Now listen, those two can fight like nobody, all right? Nobody. And that's because they're both hotheads and they both go at it. But the reality is they love each other so deeply, it's a beautiful thing. And I've always seen it, right? I've always grown up with that. But I did not grow up in a broken home. So I pulled some girls in that I was talking to and they were like, no, I grew up in a broken home. I grew up where I didn't see a marriage come through the way it should have, and I was the product of that broken place. And so today, I want to tell you that there's hope on the other side. No matter where you come from, no matter what your journey is or what your life has brought into you and whatever's happened, I want you to put that aside. And I want you today to go to the Word of God with an open mind. And to hear what God is saying and why he's saying it. And then maybe there's something in our lives that we are going to have to readjust in our hearts and in our minds. So that it will line up with what the Word of God says. And not what the world is saying, but what God is saying. Because that is what God is asking of us, okay? So promise me that you're going to walk into this with a beautiful mind, an open mind, and not bitterness, frustration. Because let me tell you, we could go on and on. Broken marriages bring insecurity. Broken marriages bring anger. Ooh, anger. Anger with everyone for any other reason that you can think of. Broken marriages bring not a standard of stability. It brings uneasiness. It brings a bitterness inside of people's hearts. It's totally the plan of the enemy to come in and rob what God wanted to anoint and bring together. And that's what the devil does. Is he's seeking whom he may devour. He's lurking and finding places that he can weasel his way into our lives, into our hearts, into our children's lives, into our family's lives, into our friends' lives. And God is saying, but that's not what I want for you. I want you to know what my true intention of marriage should be and why it is that way. And so we're going to step into this and we're going to just take our time through this. Is that okay with you girls? Awesome. You're like, I don't have a choice. I'm sitting here. I can't leave. You could see me. All right. Let's go. Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I love this in the Passion Translation because I believe it poetically says this in a beautiful way. It says, for wives, this means being supportive to your husbands, like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. For your husband provides leadership for the wife, just as Christ provides leadership for his church and the Savior and the reviver of the body. In the same way, the church is devoted to Christ. Let the wives be devoted to their husbands in everything. So let's break this down for us women. First of all, in these verses, he is addressing us as wives. Now, for the single girls in here, guess what wife in the Greek turns into? Woman. So if you're single in this place, he's still talking to you. Because what is a wife? She is a married woman, right? So you may be a part of that. And this is where God wants you to get this into your heart. Because when it is your time that God wants to bring that man of God back into your life or into your life for the first time, I don't know what your story is, I believe that God wants us to wrap our hearts and our minds around our role and who we are and where we stand and why we're going to be blessed in that role. I want you to be blessed. I want you to flourish in your marriages. I want you to see yourself the way that God sees you, because sometimes we don't see ourselves that way because we've been beaten down, because we've been so rocked right to the left and to the front and to the back. But God is saying, this is who I see you as a beautiful woman. Also, that if you are not married yet, but one day you will need to be in a marriage, you will be in a marriage, and I don't want you to get into this marriage and go, well, I didn't know. And then you're sitting in our office like 6 months later going, what is wrong with him? And I'm going, wait a second, didn't you sit through Women Rock AM during the messages, and you now know who you are, and how come you're not acting in your role, girlfriend? All right, so God wants us to know. So what is a wife? The practical, the obvious is she is a woman and she is married. But the character of a wife, I love the first revelation of this, is that she is rare. Woo, I like that, because I know I'm really weird. And so it helps me. Number two, she is a helpmate. She's not the head, she is a helpmate. She is respectful, she regards her husband, she deeply cares for him. She is in reverence and in awe of who he is. Now listen, girls, you're going, well, what about him? Oh, wait till we get to his verses. They are way harder than ours, all right? Like, he's got to lay his life down. He's got to surrender it all right? So, like, God didn't ask us to do all that. He just asked us to honor and respect. He asked us to be in reverence and in awe of who God put inside of the man that either is coming or the man that you are with, the one that God has assigned you to love. He has called you to love. Genesis 2:18 says, we're going to go right back to the beginning because this is where this all started, girls. And it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I absolutely agree. Have you ever left your husbands at home alone with a list of things that they should do? And you come home and you're like, not one of these things got done. What have you been doing all day? Well, I have been doing all the other things that weren't on the list. Because, listen, they aren't multitaskers like we are, girls. They cannot do this on their own. They need a helpmate. You notice when two people are separated, maybe somebody dies in the marriage, usually it's the man that gets married right away because he has to have a woman to take care of him. Women are like, peace, I'm good. I've done my duty. I can live alone and I'm healthy. All right? I don't know. I always tell Dion, I know you're going to have to get married if something happens to me. But if you die, ain't nobody compared to you. I'm good. Me and Jesus until I go home. So these are the conversations we have. So I will make him a helper comparable to him is what the word of God says. Wait a second. That doesn't make any sense. God just said that he is the head. But God says in Genesis that we were made comparable to him. What happened? What happened then? Verse 19, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what to call them. Hold on a second. Like, God couldn't have named these animals himself. No, he needed Adam. He needed Adam. He wanted Adam. That's kind of a switch in our thinking. God wanted Adam to be a part of naming creation. What? You know what that tells me? God needs us. That God doesn't just need us, but he wants us. That God cares for us. So if you're sitting in this room and you feel unloved, uncared for, hold on a second, because in the very beginning, God brought man on the scene and he said, I want you to be with me alongside. I want you to help me. I want you to be over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. I want you to have a peace in my creation. That's pretty cool, right? So God invited us in to what he was doing. So here's Adam. God, Adam had a big God assignment, I think. Can you imagine like what it was like for Adam to be sitting there, first of all, and they bring him a giraffe. And God's like, what do you want to name it? Well, maybe long neck? Like, where did he come up with the word giraffe, right? Like, just amazing to put yourself in these stories and to think, like, where were they at? What was their capacity? And verse 19, out of the ground, you see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called them, each living creature, that was its name. I love that God just said, okay, Adam, that's what you get. Verse 20, so Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So Adam is on the earth. He's all alone. He's got these animals and he's got God. But wait, shouldn't that be enough, right? Like, isn't God our everything? Isn't he all that we need? Absolutely. But God knew that in our physical stance, in our normal everyday being, that we need some companionship. And that an animal, as much as we love our animals, because I do like my dog, Lucy, unlike Pastor Dan. And by the way, I just had to tell a side note. He did tell her he does not hate her this week, and all of a sudden she is in love with him, and we are all chopped liver. So now Dan and her are like best friends. So just side note, if you ever listen to that message on Sunday morning. But we love our animals. We love them, right? But you know what's so funny? It's like, do you remember that movie Lady and the Tramp? She loved her animals, and then the baby came along, and where's the dog? What happened to the dog? Right? Like, I'll never forget watching Anna Bryan with her dogs. I mean, she posted them every day. And then she got pregnant, and I was like, is Lady and the Tramp all over again? I barely see those dogs now. I only see Fiona, right? I love it because God knew that human capacity is what we needed. He knew that human touch was important. God knew that having a face-to-face conversation was in need. And so God said, there's nothing comparable, Adam. I need you to have something comparable to who you are. Ooh, God cares about our motives. God cares about our position. God cares about our happiness. That's what he's saying in this. But I want to stop here because what happens next, I want you to pay attention to. It says in verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up his flesh in its place. Why didn't God keep Adam alive during this, or awake during this? You know, when God did the covenant with Abraham, he put him to sleep. I think it's very interesting that God has put our fleshly man down so that he can perform something totally supernatural, because it's something we probably won't be able to fathom or even grasp in our human form. It's like when Moses said that he wanted to see the face of God, but God said, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock because you cannot look upon my glory. You see, he is omniscient. He is all-powerful. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the great I am. And the great I am said, you need someone that you are going to be compatible with and comparable to who you are, to rule this earth with you, to walk alongside of you, to be with you on this journey. And Adam was like, all right, I don't know what that means, but cool. So he put him to sleep. He took a rib. Verse 22 says, the rib that which the Lord had taken from this man, he made into woman. I love what somebody said once. He said, it's called woman because it's like, whoa, man, right? He brought her to man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she has been taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let's stop for a second. I was reading this, and I'm like, God, hold on a second. Adam did not know about what a father or a mother was, and God says, no, Moses wrote this. And as Moses is writing, he knows what a father and mother is, but Adam and Eve were the first father and mother. They were the first of all of it. They were the first ones walking the earth, creating this life that we all now live as a normal thing, right? Now, I want to note this, guys. God didn't create man with man and woman with woman. God created man and woman to be together as a joint, unified team. Now, I know the world wants to say it, and I know that people that struggle with homosexuality and these things, that I feel for them. Because I know that there's desires there and there's things there that they don't want, but they're there. So what do I do with that? You know what you do? You abstain and you go to the throne room of God. You ask him to change. You ask him to show you how to change yourself, because to be more like him is what you want. Now, listen, I know that is not popular and I would probably be stoned out in the world, but I'm telling you, I will not back down to what the word of God says. I've known too many people that have come out of that lifestyle and are living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God, and that they have seen health and wholeness, and they're not killing themselves because of it, but they're in love with who they are because of what God created them to be. You see, God loves man and woman. He's not here to like beat us over the head and say, you're wrong, you're bad because you're living this way. He's saying, this is what I created and this is what I'm asking. Now, sin came into the world and the desires and all those things, all of us, listen, sin is sin. Girls, you're sleeping with someone before marriage, sin. You're having sex with someone else outside of your marriage, sin. Let's call it what it is. Because for some reason, our world and in our Christian world, we have compromised what God's word says. And we say, but Jesus still loves me. I don't know if some of y'all watch The Bachelorette. But Jesus still loves me. Oh, I can act however I want, but Jesus still loves me. Absolutely, he loves you. But what are you doing for him? Like, where's your part in this relationship? What are you doing? Yes, there's grace that will heal you, but you have to be repentive in your sin for the grace to come and cover it. You don't just get to sin and do whatever you want and not be accountable for it. You see, it is not one thing with God. It's either all or nothing with God. That is what he's asking, is everything. And so he's saying to Adam, Adam, I know what you need, so let's create this woman. Let's create this beautiful, unified unity. Let's create someone that you can do life with and you can be happy with and you can enjoy the world with. You see, God loves us so much that he wants that to be what marriage is. That it is this blissful time of knowing who we are, walking in our roles, being who we're supposed to be. Some of you have lived in this world and you've had marriage and it has failed and you're going, it doesn't work. Well, maybe you did your part, but they didn't do their part. You see, it takes two. It takes two. It was Adam and Eve walking this way. Who screwed up in the garden? What was her name? Eve, right? We'll all have a conversation with her when we get there. And Eve screwed up. And then Adam said, okay, I'll take a bite from it too. You see, it's human nature for us to long for what we don't know. To have that curious state, to be hungry after something. The devil knows how to come and entice us, come and divide us, come and take away the desires of what God has for us in the first place. And so be aware, church, be aware, girls, that the enemy is out there seeking whom he may devour. And your marriage and your identity and who you are is being taken and stripped from you, and you're being told things that are not real. But God today is here to tell you that he loves you, that no matter what lifestyle you find yourself in, that there's always a way back, and that God has healing for you, and that he loves you, and that who you are is who he created you to be, not what you chose to be. You see, God wants you to step into who the fullness of he is inside of you. And if sin lives within us, we cannot become who we need to be. I cannot be the wife I need to be if I'm in sin. Have you ever been in sin in your marriage and you're fighting and you hear the Holy Spirit go, I'm going to go talk to him now? You're going to go make this right? And I'm like, no. He needs to make it right. God is like, seriously, he's stubborn. Come on. Like, God wants us to know our role. So today, girls, we're going to learn what our role is. We're going to learn what God has for us, how much he loves us, how much he's not beating us over the head and saying, your sin is too far to come back and you can't. He's saying, I need you to get what my heart was behind this. I need you to see what the purpose of marriage is. I need you to know what the goodness of it should be so that one day when you are faced in a position that maybe you are like challenged in your marriage, you can stand firm in your role and know what your spot is supposed to be. Or maybe when you find that one or when you're ready to get married, you know what your position is going to be and you know where to stand and you know what your duty is before heaven and what will be pleasing to the throne room of God. You see, that's what we're learning today. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So I'm going to ask us a series of questions today. Like, I was thinking about this because the world we live in just so taints marriage and sexual identity, all of it. It's all so blurred. Do you guys notice that? It's just like a big blur. And the enemy is trying to put this veil over our eyes so we don't think clearly, so we don't know what the word says. And so Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Right there, I can see half of the millennials going, Ain't nobody over me. I'm myself. there's different generations that have been taught this, and they were like more open to receiving this. But it has been generation after generation, the feminist movement has taken away manhood and who men are, and I am sad about it. Let me tell you, I need men to be men. I don't want them to be wussies. I want them to stand firm. I want them to take care of their households. I want them to step into their spots. And if I can encourage them to be a man, then I want them to be in their role so that I can be in my role and we can do this right. All right? Because I'm not supposed to be a man. I'm supposed to be a woman. I'm supposed to be who God has called me to be. I'm supposed to step into that. But I can't do that if I haven't had men in my life. I'm raising boys. And do you know what I'm doing? I'm probably so old school. But I'm like, you will open a door for me when we are together. You will. And guess what? My boys do. I notice they open doors for whoever's around. I notice that my boys, when they talk about farting, like in front of their sister, I make them apologize later because I'm like, you don't talk about these things in front of a lady. And then they're like, but mom, you're a mess too. And I'm like, well, listen, we're all working on it. All right, Jesus loves us. I'm trying, right? I'm trying to put those things. The other day, Micah ran into the kitchen and got me something because I wasn't feeling good. Oh, I had a sore throat. And he said, mom, let me get you a cup of tea. He went and made me a cup of green tea. And I felt so much better afterwards. And I was like, Micah, thank you. And Chloe's like, he's going to be the best husband. Like, seriously, he's going to so take care of his wife. She's going to just be so spoiled. And it's just, I love it. I'm raising men. And then I got their dad in their face like, no, you don't get to do that. That's not what a man does. A man stands for what's right. You don't get, just because a crowd is doing this, that's not what you do. You see, that is what God needs for us to say, girls, we don't just get to bow down and lay down and not do our jobs and show up for the day. If we didn't show up for the day, our households would die. People would not eat. People would not be dressed. They would be like flipping their underwear inside and out 50 times. Like, there are certain things that we only can do, right? God knew this. And God cares and loves both roles. But he wants the two roles to work well together. And so why did God, this is the first question, why did God make man the head of the house and not woman? Because totally we could do it, right? And some of you are going, I do it. Like, my husband is not the one that steps up and takes care of things. But I'm here today to say, you need to let him step up. Because sometimes we just overtake things, and they don't have an opportunity to actually step into their role. So many times I'm sitting in my office with married people, and I'll listen to their stories, and she's a strong woman because we can do anything, right? Like, we will get it done. If it's not getting done, we'll just jump in and make it happen. But sometimes it's not our job to make it happen. Sometimes it's our job to not make it happen so that they see the lack of and they step into their role and they do what they need to do. And that's a hard thing to do. That actually takes more strength than it does to step into the role and just get it done, right? And now everybody's story is different. Everybody's life is different. But God is saying that he has placed man over the head of the house. Why is this? Well, let's go back to Genesis. So here's Eve. She's hanging out with that snake. And he's talking to her and he's saying, if you would just eat, just take a bite of this apple. And so dummy does it. And then she gives it to the man. And so God is not happy about this. He first of all finds them hiding themselves. Like as if he didn't know what they were doing. But he's like, what are you doing? Why are you embarrassed? You were never embarrassed about being naked before. Like, I'm like, sure, Eve. Like, I know that we have pictures of Eve with, like, no cellulite. And, like, she's skinny, right? But, like, maybe Eve looked like the rest of us with the rolls. And like, she just ate good every day. And, like, they ate off the land. And they were just confident, right? And then all of a sudden, this happens. And they're hiding. And they're uncomfortable. They don't want to show their private parts. Which I'm like, how did they know not to show those parts and not everything else? Like, I mean, I think back as a kid, the flannel board and just like the pictures, you know? And I'm like, Lord, what was it really like? Like, can you redo this in my head? And God is saying, why are you now hiding from me? Because they broke a covenant. Because they broke the plan of creation. And all of a sudden, boom, in that moment, things changed. And all of a sudden, the snake who had hands and legs, God said, you will slither on the earth. And he said to Eve, this is what he said to her. He said, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Ooh, girl, how many of you have babies? It does hurt. And in pain, you shall bring forth children. So I'm wondering if it would have not hurt before, right? Like I read these things and I'm like, so would it not have hurt before? And then it says, your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. They were compatible before, but until this very moment, all of a sudden, she is now under his will, his way, and his purpose. And the reality is like, whoa, I didn't realize that this all happened in the very beginning. Because we just talk about these things and we think, well, that's just how God ordained it. Well, actually, God wanted us to just be together, working together as tag team and do it well together. But no, the snake knew that if he could get in and if he could deceive and if he could lie and if he could taint her way of thinking and coax her with desires that are not hers. Now, let me go here for a second. Some of us are in marriages and we're looking at things we shouldn't be looking at. You're looking at men that have better bodies than your husband and you shouldn't be. That's coaxing you and you're thinking about something different than what you should be keeping your eyes on. Maybe you're single in this room and you're looking at porn. You know, this isn't a guy issue. This is a human issue. And maybe you're looking at things you shouldn't look at. The enemy is enticing you with that apple, with that thing to get you off course, to take you away from what God's plan is initially for who you are. What have you been tapping into that is not what God ever intended? Because when we do step into those realms, we pay consequences for each of those choices. And Eve and all of us are now paying a consequence for her choice back then. You see, as we continue on with this, we need to understand that God ordained this now. He has set the man in place to be head over the home. Some of you go, well, I'm a single mom. Well, you are now recognized as the head of your home. I want you to know that. If there's not a husband in the home, you are now recognized as the head of that home. The one who oversees that home, the one who guards and guides and protects that home. Until one day, if you do end up having a husband that comes back into your home, you need to submit now to who he is and what his mission is. That might be hard for you. I've seen people try it, and it's very hard. Some of you have roles at work that are very high-end roles. Like, you're the boss of many. And then you got to go home and be the wife of one. That's hard. Right? Like, how do I not take my boss hat off at work and then go home and be like, come under the mission of my husband? But this is what God is asking of us. But God doesn't ask it of us without giving us reason and giving us tools to do it, okay? So God's not telling us to do something without giving us everything we need to accomplish it with the victory of who he is, all right? Charles Swindoll tells of a story of when he was married for 10 years. And he became aware and of the value of being grateful for the differences between him and his wife. And he often was irritated that she didn't view things exactly as he did. She wasn't argumentative, only expressive with her honest feelings. But he took this as a lack of submission. And he told her so time and time again. He locked horns until he finally saw what God was saying in Genesis 2, 18 through 25. That his wife was different because God had made her different. I love that. See, she was taken out of man, remember? And God created something different in who she was and versus what man was. And I love that. And his wife was made different and more valuable to him because of those differences. She was not designed to be, I love this, to be the echo, but to be the counterpart. We aren't supposed to be exactly like our husbands. We are supposed to be different. Be you, boo-boo, be you. Like, do you well and do you well big, right? Like, be who you are because your husband's going to love that about you just like you love that about him. And so we celebrate our differences. I love that. A necessary and needed individual to help and become all that God wanted him to be. She cheered him on. She was the backbone of his ministry. She was the one that would hold his arms up when he had bad days. You see, she was a true wife, and she understood her role. As we continue on with this, God has ordained the house of God for the man to be head over the shoulder. We just learned why. Number two, what am I supposed to do as a wife? And if I'm a wife, what is my role? What am I supposed to do? Well, it says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, what's the word? Oh, this is, you don't even want to say it. Because this word is like a cuss word. Right? Like, it is. And in this generation, in this time, it's an irrelevant word. It's a word that people have an opinion about, like, I don't agree with that. That's not what I want to do. But what does God's word say to us girls? Read it with me. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It says submit. It's to give or to yield the power and authority to another. That means you don't got to have it all done. You don't have to know all the answers. Guess what you get to do? You get to follow. Some of you are like, amen, I don't want the pressure anyways. But some of you are like, I don't want to follow. I don't want to come under his mission. He's a screw up. I don't want to follow that mess. Listen, God is not saying that you throw your brains out the door and you become this like dummy, right? No, he's saying you be a godly woman. If he's doing something ungodly, then you don't follow the ungodliness. But you serve God and you love him and you honor him. And if you are in a marriage where he is unsaved and you're saved, then you win him over by your love. You win him over by your goodness. You win him over by your love for God. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter. So I want you girls to know that God's got your back in this. He's not asking you to do something that, he's not asking you to sin. He's not asking you to go out and be something that you can't be apart from who God is. God wants you to be everything he needs you to be within who he is. And when we hear the word submission, we want to shut off. Like, right? Like, just want to shut off. I want to say, oh, that's so old school, or nope, not for me. But guess what? We don't get to do that as Christians. We don't get to open up the word of God. Where did my Bible go? And go, okay, I'm going to read it today. It's going to bless me. Oh, I don't like what that said. Never mind. Let's just pick another scripture. We don't get to do that. We got to open this word and we got to understand that whatever this word says is how I'm going to live. And when I say yes to Jesus, that means I say yes to what his word says. And that this is what my life looks like now. No longer what the world says, no longer what I've seen identified in front of me my whole life, no matter even how I feel, because feelings can be deceiving and take us down roads that we should never be in. But the word is our anchor, our sole source of who we are, what the definition of marriage is. He's asking us to submit because in our submission is understanding of authority. So authority is a whole nother no-no topic in our society. We have been in a society, I wrote this out, so I'm going to just read it to you. This is a deep, hard subject for us to think about these days. In our society, it's full of crazy people with no respect for authority and honor for marriage. And in this, it can be very difficult to live a life of holiness. But what if I post to you that our society was very off and God was the one that was right on? You see, it's going to be the opposite. The word is going to teach us the opposite of what the world is living like. And so we have to understand that all that he has created us to be in order to live in this world, he has supplied us with and the tools to get through it and to do it well. And so therefore, we must have an idea of what marriage is. You see, God created marriage, not man. God created it. He ordained it. Not the law, not society, not the rules and regulations. That is not what marriage is. God created marriage. So when we understand that this is a God thing, this is God's idea, then marriage is holy, right? Then marriage is sanctified. It is a covenant between a man and a woman. It is never a promise that would be easy, though, or convenient. God never said marriage is going to be easy, girls. It's going to be totally easy. You're going to love each other every single day. You're never going to argue. You're never going to like not be on the same page. No, God said it's going to take a lot of hard work. And let me tell you, any relationship is going to take a lot of hard work. If we can understand that God is our head and that we follow him, then we can love our husbands because we love God, right? If God says that I am the one that is the head, I'm the author of humanity, I'm the one who created marriage, then if I can get my marriage working, then I can even have good relationships in my life. You see, God is a supernatural in every relationship here on this earth. He is the key to all of this. So when we understand that God created relationship, God created marriage, this is his idea, all of a sudden it holds the capacity of holiness. It holds the capacity of a covenant, something that can't be broken or ripped apart. You wonder why divorce is so hard? Because in the supernatural, you are ripping apart spirits. Because when you become married and you have sex together, your bodies join together and your spirit man and his spirit man join as one flesh. There is something that is supernatural that happens inside of marriage. This is why God says don't go around sleeping around and sharing yourself with everybody. You're going to have an attachment to everyone. God says that is not the way it should be. You should be with one person. And that person will be like you. You will be one flesh, joined together, holy, and a covenant before me. A three-cord strand can't be broken. That's you, your husband, and God. You see, you got to put Jesus in the center of this marriage, or it will not work. You will have it fail. What do you do when you're the one that's serving God and he chose to walk away? Well, then you know what? You keep serving God. And if he chooses to walk away, then let him walk away. Let him go live his life. I've known many girls that have done this. And yet, they're still happy. They still have their joy. They still know who their God is. And God has taken care of them. He has provided for them. He will make a way in the dark places. You see, when you see devastation, don't beat yourself up because somebody didn't want to serve God. You did your part. If you know you did your part before God and he has released you from that, that's okay. But there are some women in here that God has not released you from this horrible marriage you are living in. And you go, why is he making me still continue in this? Because maybe God has something on the other side of it. I heard a victory story yesterday where she said, I wanted to leave so many times. I wanted to walk away so many times and would have righteously been able to do it. But I didn't because I never got a release from God. And because I loved God, I would have to love him. And I would say to God, God, how do I love him then when I want to hate him? And God would give her this supernatural love for him when she would see his face. You see, God is on the scene. He loves your marriage more than you do. God knows that man that you have been entwined with and that you are in a covenant with. And God is on your side and on your team. And so listen, girls, get God in the middle of this because God loves you and he wants to lead you through this. So submission should not be a negative, horrible thing. It actually should be something for us as women that is freedom. You say, how is that? Well, submission is not, number one, bondage. It is actually freedom. That means when I submit, the word submission means to come under one's mission. That means when Dan says something for our household, and I don't agree with it, I can voice my opinion. He's a good man. He will listen to me, and he will still go, no. And I'm like, okay. Then what's my role at that moment? My role is, all right, let's do, all right, what are we doing? And listen, I could do it with a better attitude. Let me just confess 101. Like, I don't always do it with a good attitude. But I'll tell you something. Even if Dan makes a mistake, he's a man of God, right? So God's going to back him, and he's going to work all things out for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. I've seen Dan make the wrong mistake, but yet God turn it around and actually benefit us later from it. Because God works it out. And because I followed Dan, even though I was like, oh, I don't really know about this, then God blessed that whole circumstance and he turned it around. And in fact, there's one circumstance that even to this day that I'm like, I don't think we made the right decision. But I'll tell you, so many people were blessed out of it. So many people's lives were blessed out of that one decision that he made that I was like, I've got your back. All right, this is what we're doing. This is where we're going. Because I knew that my role was not to fight or to kick. My role was to pray and to submit and ask the Lord to show me how to submit because I didn't want to. It wasn't comfortable. I didn't agree. And I had to go, okay, God, then you help me love in this moment because I don't want to love. You help me be okay with this decision because I don't agree with this decision. You see, girls, God doesn't say we turn our brains off and we become dumb. He knows that we are who we are. He says, come and talk to me about this. Work this out with me. And then you follow that husband of yours and you back him up because then I will bless you and I will back you up. You see, there's freedom in submission. Submission, I love this is coming under one's mission to yield to one's advance or to obey. So if I'm coming under one's mission, then I will have the favor of the authority that is over me. That means if I don't submit to my husband, listen, kids, if you're married, or I'm sorry, if you're a child or a younger person in this room, and you don't submit to the authority of your parent, you see, God has placed authority over us in all sectors of life. God, maybe you're at work and you're boss and you're like, I don't like my boss. I don't have to listen to what they say. No, no, no. That's an authority position. You see, marriage is a picture of all different walks of life. And if we can understand that when God says to submit to who is in authority over us, then we can submit to God when that time comes and he's asking us to do something that's uncomfortable. He's asking us to take steps in life that maybe we're like, that wasn't God, I didn't hear. That must have been me, right? Like, that, God told me to do that, I think, but I don't know. But yet, God is going, I'm asking you to do this. What are you doing? And you can go, all right, I'm scared, but I'm going to do this because you have learned how to submit to authority, whether that is your boss, whether that is your husband, whether that is your parent. You see, God has placed authority on this earth, and that is what God is asking of us. Not just as women. Listen, the men have to do this too. They have to submit to who God is. They have to come under God's mission to carry that out. So God, but we're talking to us as girls today, all right? So simply remember that submission is not bondage, but it is actually freedom. Another question that we have, why does God make a point to say submit to your own husbands? Isn't that like obvious? Actually, no. So many times in Ephesians 5:24 says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. So many times I have come across women should not preach. Women can only preach to women. I just talked to somebody recently and I said, hey, they moved. And I'm like, hey, how are you getting involved in your church? And they're like, the only place they told me that I could be in is children's ministry in the mission field. And I'm like, what? Like, we're taking these scriptures that let women not teach men, not let women not speak in church. And we're saying that we are lesser than, we are like under the man, yes. But let me tell you something. God was talking to wives in these verses because guess what happened? Look at this room right now. You got, back in the day, in an old synagogue, Pastor Sue can relate with this because she probably just went to the Creation Museum and I know they had this displayed in the DC Museum. And women would sit on one side of the sanctuary and men would sit on the other. And the girls would be like, hey, talking to their boo across the room in the middle of church. And they're like, you know us, like anytime the announcements come on, I have a friend, she will tell me her whole life story in 5 seconds. I'm like, dang, girl, I got it all. Like, we will talk in church, right? And God is saying, be silent. Knock it off. Quit disrupting. Because girls, we like to talk. It's okay. God knew we were that way, but he's like, knock it off. There are times and places for that. And so when God is saying that to your own husband, he's not saying to somebody else's husband, Dr. V's husband's not going to come into my life and tell me how to pay my bills and how to raise up my kids. Now, as a good man of God, he might say, hey, you know, maybe you could do this and I could listen to him and because he knows and he's lived there and he's gone down that road and we have that relationship. But I'm not going to, like, follow him like he's my husband because he's not my husband. But if Dan says it to me, yes, sir, I've got this. I've got your back. I'm on it, right? And so many times people will put themselves in the role of your husband. Girls, let me talk to some of you that are dating. When he says something and you run and jump as if you are married, you play house, but you aren't the house. You can't play house. He doesn't get that right. He has to make the commitment in order to get all of the goods. My dad used to say, why milk the cow if you get it for free? It's true. And you see, this looks like this. Can I give you the role of it? The wife is to her husband as unto, the wife submits to her husband as unto the Lord. This is how she is in respect and regard for her husband, serving and honoring him and building him up. The husband to the wife, listen to this, girls, this is deep. By leading the way, laying down his life for his wife, the sacrifice of his own interest to enhance hers. His role is to nourish, to cherish, to support, to grow towards her own maturity. Whoa, he's got to invest a lot into us. A marriage lived out in this mutual loving environment mirrors the love of Christ that Christ has for the church and the church has for Christ. You see, our marriages are a picture of Christ and us, Jesus and us in a relationship. People can look at marriage and go, that's the love that I want with God. God created that. God knows what a relationship should look like and be like. One time we were working at Sam's Club, I'll never forget. Dan always says big box store, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say their name. But anyways, we worked at this big box store. And I worked with this coworker of mine, and her boyfriend were becoming our friends. They were going to Bible college with us. And they were a little toxic. They would always like have these deep fights like everywhere. And it was one of those things where you're like at the restaurant, you're like, this is awkward. And I just would always pull her aside and be like, listen, you know you don't have to like live like this. Like I had just gotten out of horrible relationships and now I'm in this wonderful relationship with Dan. So I can see the signs everywhere. And she would not listen to me. And one day, she didn't do something he wanted her to do. And he came into our place of work and wreaked havoc. Started screaming and yelling at her, grabbing her by her arm, dragging her out the door. And Dan, thinking he's his friend, said, hey, what are you doing? No, you need to calm down. Like, you're being a bad representation of Christ right now. What are you doing? He's like, she will listen to me and obey me. She is mine. And Dan said, oh, no, that is not what the word says. She is not yours. You are dating. You have not married her. That didn't go over well. He took her anyways, and they flipped out, and she left work. She ended up getting fired. It was a horrible situation. We went home that night, and he's like, to your own husband, not to your boyfriend. He didn't make that covenant. Not to so-and-so's husband who's telling you how to live your life. I had another guy while we were at Bible college try and tell me how to do life, and Dan was like, hold on. You don't get to tell my wife how to do life. So Dan jumped in and was like, you can back off. You know, he might be tall, skinny, and people think he's nerdy and really buttoned up. But I'll tell you, he's actually stubborn, feisty, and don't mess with him because he's no joke. Okay, so don't think I married a wimp. I married a strong man who's full of meekness. And I'm telling you, God is saying to your own husband, girls, we don't have to be worried about what your neighbor's saying or what somebody else is saying, but what is you and your husband in agreement over? What are your plans that you're making together? And what paths are you going down? Don't look at someone else's marriage and say, well, then we need to be like them. No. Be you. Be in your marriage. Do what God's asked you to do in your marriage and with your family and with your children, because that is what you're accountable for. Why is God asking us to submit and do marriage his way? Ooh. Like, you know, marriage can be done in so many ways. We see it on TV. We see it in the movies. We see it everywhere else. We see it in our own screwed up families, right? Can I get an amen? God is saying to do it his way first of all because, ready for this? He said so. And when God says it, that's how it is. It's not up for negotiation. So many times we argue with God, but God, what if, let me lay this out. Let's bargain. And God's like, no, this is not a negotiation. This is how it is. And this is what it is. God loves you. Second, he loves you so much that he cares for us. So he wants us to do it his way so that we succeed, so that we're blessed, so that we're anointed. I need to live an anointed marriage. I need to live a marriage that is pleasing and supernatural. I don't want to live a fleshly marriage with no hope and no happiness. I want to live a marriage that I see people change, that I see my kids serving God and telling someone about Jesus. I want to live in a marriage that is a beautiful picture of Jesus in the church. I want to be a beautiful example. So what does that mean? It's because God love me, then I'm going to do it his way. Because when I know that I'm loved, I'll do anything for you. You see, when God gave his life on that cross and he said, your sin is not too big for mine. I will lay myself down as a lamb, as a slaughter before the throne room so that you can come boldly before the throne, ask for repentance from your sin and be cleansed and washed and made new. God loved you that much. That when he says, you've got to do marriage my way, you say, yes, sir. Okay. You proved yourself. So now I can follow that. You see, third, God wants us to succeed. He wants your marriage to be a blessing. He wants you to be happy in your marriage. You're like, I don't know when that's going to happen. Well, listen, you just hold on and you hold on to Jesus because God has something good for you around the corner. So when you feel like giving up, today's your day that I'm here to tell you, don't give up, girlfriend. Hold on. Pray it through. Work it through. Know what God has asked you to do. Now, listen, I'm looking at some of you in this room and I'm like, good on you. You walked away because that was ungodly. That was not a God thing. It was not ordained and God released you. So don't let guilt come on you when you're hearing this message. Know that before God, you did the right thing. You walked through that with pastors and you've done that well and you did it right because God does recognize divorce. And you're like, whoa, she's going to talk about divorce? Absolutely, let's talk about divorce, right? God does recognize it. Now, there are terms for divorce in the Bible. Pastor Sue, help me out if I miss something here. If he chooses to walk away, what can you do? You let him go. If he cheats and he has a relationship outside of you, God recognizes that. But listen to me. When you just say things like, we just fell out of love with each other, that is not an option for divorce. Because you can fall right back in love the same way you fell right out of love. You got to put the work in. And he's got to put the work in. It takes two to make it work. Right? So there are things that you can do to fix your divorce. How do I do that, Pastor Jess? Make an appointment with a pastor. We'll help you walk through that, okay? Because I have seen marriages go from this, like there's no hope, to we're in love. We've got this. God's got our back and their kids are serving God and they are doing some amazing things for the things of God. There's always hope on the other side of this if we do it God's way. He wants your marriage to succeed. He's on your side. He's in your corner. He's on your team, girls. Marriage is the image of God in Christ and an image of the church in us. I love that. Without both sides in their place, the structure of family, which we've seen, church and society will fall to pieces. How much have things been wrecked in our lives? Kids are growing up without fathers. People don't understand what love is anymore. They're saying love is love. Love ain't love. God is love. If you don't know who God is, you don't understand love. You understand lust. You understand desire. You're calling something love that really isn't love, so now you have attained a view of what love is. You will never know what love is until you find Jesus as your one true love, and then everything else falls into place. I said it in the very beginning, no one will ever be able to take the place of Jesus. No one. I don't care what broken places you've been to and how sinful you feel. I want you to know the love of God is here to cover you. And that there's nothing that you've done that is too big for God. He loves you so much. He was there in your pain and he's there in your sorrow. He's there in your joy and he's there in your victory. He loves you and he wants you to come home. He says your marriage is not too far gone for him. If you begin to put him in the center of it, it will grow, it will flourish, it will become a picture of who we are supposed to be with Jesus. If you've had a failed marriage, I'm here to tell you today, it does not always have to be that way. You start praying for that godly man. I'm going to use my sister as an example. She has been single for 8 years. She knew it was coming. I've watched my sister serve the Lord. I've watched her stand for righteousness. I watched her through that period of, should I stay together or should I not? Be godly as godly can be. She did everything she could have done to save that marriage. And she was a godly woman, righteous before God. I'll never forget the day that we had to sit her down and we say, there has to be a decision here. You're on limbo and this something has to happen. And she said, I need to go to prayer. And I remember her praying and God releasing her and then taking the steps with her through that. Listen, nobody wins in divorce. No one. No one. Not you, not the other person, and not the kids. It is not the plan of God. But God can walk you through that pain. And in it, God can provide for you. I've seen God provide for her. I've seen God carry her through this. And guess what my new prayer is for her? That God is raising up a man of God so amazing that in her latter days that she will know goodness and pleasure like she's never known before. You see, I believe God has that person for her. I know that God loves her that much. God's not a respecter of person. What he's done for her, he could do for you. It's not over yet, girls. Your life is, you're not in the hole. Some people have said, they've kicked me out of church because I've gotten a divorce. Listen, that's shameful. That's horrible. Just because we're sinning, just because we've gone through things. Listen, God loves us. You can always come back from this. God says, come, let me heal you. Let me show you who I am. So we are learning what God says about marriage. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, wives, submit to your boyfriend, friend's husband. No, to your own husbands, as to the Lord. You're not going to go and submit to what the devil tells you to do, right? But you're going to hear the voice of God and run after that and go after what God says. So when you hear God, the God voice in your life, you run after it and you pursue it with all your heart. And God is saying that I need you to do that. Wives, submit to your own husbands, ask the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. Good, let him have that job, girlfriend. Be in your lane, all right? Take the weight off. As also Christ is the head to the church, and he is the savior of the body. Listen, you are not the savior of anyone. Only Jesus is the savior of humanity. So allow him to be his role. You be in your role. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, just as we obey Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Girlfriend, be encouraging. Go home today and build your husband up. Start encouraging him instead of tearing him down. Don't speak death over him. Speak life over him. You know he can throw his socks right in front of the hamper every time. And you don't understand why. He just can't throw it a little further every time. But you know what? A loving wife says, and puts the socks in the hamper and moves on. Doesn't keep record of wrong. Moves on. Walks in love. Maybe he says things that aren't good and holy, but you say, one day you're going to speak different. I believe. And speak it out loud. Girlfriend, be crazy. Be like, God is going to speak through you one day, and you're going to tell someone about Jesus as he's cussing at you. I mean, I'm telling you, start speaking life over your home. Do what you gotta do. Go take some oil, anoint his pillow before he goes to bed at night, and speak life over him. Walk in love. Do the best you can. Because you get one chance here on this earth. And this other girl that I was talking to yesterday, I thought what she said was so beautiful. She said, the Lord spoke to her and said, you only will go to heaven and you will be alone. He won't be there to blame. So what's your role in this? What's your response in this marriage? What's your response in this fight? What's your response to this pain? You see, you will have to answer for you. So make sure before God that you do marriage right, that you're working at your best at this, that you're cherishing him. Now, I want to do something real quick that I didn't do. Write this down, because we have a very tainted view of what family is and the priority of family. You ready? It goes God first in our lives, okay? God first. What do you think goes second? Us? Okay, I heard us. What goes second? Spouse? Some of you are like, I don't want to say children, but my children actually are second. Guys, it's husband. God, husband, children, work, ministry. God, husband, children, work, ministry. God, husband, children, work, ministry. You don't work, you don't eat. Right? Children should not rule the home. You rule the children. You are the authority in that home. Take your place, mama. So many times I have to remind my kids, hold on a second. I'm the parent in this house and you're the child. Let's just remember our roles. And they're like, oh yeah, okay, okay. Remember that that husband comes before your kids. We have been hearing so much. Well, when the kids are out of the house, we'll just go our separate ways. What? No, no, no. You need to nurture that marriage. You need to go back in and you need to redo that marriage again. You need to fall back in love. You need to ask the Lord to help you love that man like you used to, what brought you together before those kids were there. You see, you need to ask for some supernatural to get on your natural, so that it can become a spectacular force for the kingdom of God. And guess what? When you bring your marriage back together and you put your husband before your children will be blessed. Because if you seem to think that when they get older and then you divorce, that they won't be hurt, they're just as hurt and broken over that in the older years than they are in the younger years. So it's just time to put in the work and make it right so that your kids can live a supernatural life. So your kids can know the goodness and the love and the picture of Jesus in the church. And you know, it's okay for them to know you mess up. It's okay to know mom and dad fight. Guess what? Dan and I have the best of fights in front of our kids. In fact, so much so that Chloe like lays her hands on the walls and prays in tongues. And then one time I said, go outside and don't come back inside. I'm so mad. Like, I was so mad. And she's like, mom, it got dark. So we're like looking in the windows like, can we come back in? I mean, we can fight good. But let me tell you something. We make up good. I like those makeup days. And then we go to our kids and we say, hey, guys, we didn't do this right. But this is what you heard. Do you have any questions? They'll ask us, yeah, why did you guys say this to each other? Yeah, why did you do this? And then we'd say, okay, we were wrong in that. We did apologize to each other, and we're going to walk this out. We're going to make this right. And this is not really how we felt. We were just mad. You know, mommy says dumb things when she's mad. She's a cobra. And daddy, you know, daddy just stubborn. So we all just, and we work through it together, honestly, as a family. Because you can't seem to think that your marriage isn't affecting your kids, because it is. Their identity is wrapped up in that. So when mom and dad aren't okay, they feel like they're not okay. And so, girls, this is our role, is to step back into who God needs us to be. Love when it's not easy to love. Pray when we haven't been praying. Get back into asking God to love that man, even though you want to hate him and you want to leave him or whatever that thing may be. Or maybe you have a wonderful man, but you're just kind of bored. You're bored in the marriage. Guess what? Marriage is hard work. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's really stinking hard work. And every season is a new season that you got to readjust yourself. Somebody said to me, why did you guys get married too young? You were too young to get married. We were 21. I said, you know what? You're going to still have to adjust your whole life anyways. I might as well get young. I know he was the one I wanted to be with for the rest of my life. So we adjusted through every season so far. I've watched my parents step out of transition and really have to look at each other way too much all the time in one house and have nothing to do. And they're like, we've got to figure out our marriage now that we're staring at each other all the time, all day long, every day. Like, and have nothing to talk about because we were together. Like, they've had to work it out. Now I called them, they're on their motorhome trip. They ain't coming back. I'm like, are you ever coming home? Like, and they're like, we love each other. We're so happy. I'm like, that's so good. Stay away then. Like, do what you need to do. Enjoy each other. Love each other, because that's what God wants. So God never said it's going to always be easy. God just said that he will get you through it. And you press in, you stay committed, your yes is yes, your no is no. You do what you can do to make it right, and you trust that God's going to work on his behalf, on that man, and you do your part. If you do your part, God will work on his part, all right? So I hope you got something from the word today.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.